Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the day has been extraordinarily pleasant and much nicer than what we had a week ago. The storm that tied us up is now history, and I had the top down in the convertible, which I know will please all of my fans nationwide, particularly those who live in the Northeast and are troubled by the incredible storms that they continue to have. All right, folks, there are, as I so often do, I would like to begin this show with a prayer that I've written that is actually part of a collection of what I call real prayers for real people with real problems. This isn't sappy Christianity that isn't Jesus wonderful and isn't life wonderful, because sometimes it isn't. We like to look at the glass as if it's half full instead of half empty, but sometimes it's more than half empty. And what do we do when these things happen? It can be very, very difficult. And yet at the same time, we know that God, in his power and in his authority, is in charge of everything. We often wonder, how do you understand God? And is it even necessary? This is a question I have asked myself often, and in so doing, I don't know that I've ever come up with a satisfactory answer, although we have Robert McGee on the other end, and I'm certain that he has an answer to this quandary. Robert, how are you this afternoon, sir?
Well, outside my computer not cooperating with me, I'm fine. Yeah, the question about understanding God is that there are many people I've talked to in the past that if they couldn't understand something about God, they assumed that it wasn't necessary or he wasn't necessary, etc. And finally, I realized one day, we're not called to understand God. We're called to know him, right? And there's a difference between the two. To understand him would be like we understand what makes a rocket take off or a laser beam or something out of science.
Well, how about this, Robert? You know, a good God wouldn't do this. A God who loved me wouldn't do this to me. Why would God be who he is and be so unfair to homosexuals and not want them to get married? That's not fair. That's not right. A loving God wouldn't do that. I know God wouldn't do that, because that isn't who God really is. I mean, these are the things that you hear, not just the case, these are constant.
Well, the thing about it is we can either question God and live a very miserable life, or we can accept what he says is true about him and have a wonderful time trusting him. You cannot understand him and trust him at the same time. Do you understand that, Jack?
All right, say that again. Say it again.
You cannot understand him and trust him at the same time. God calls us to trust him based on what he has declared of himself to us. Now, how much of himself has he declared to us? Not much. Not much. I mean, we have to remember, this is a God who spoke everything into creation and then maintained it and has maintained it from eternity past. We don't have a real good handle on eternity, much less what happened and how he created it and now maintains it. I mean, we don't know any. I mean, he's such a magnificent, huge God. Where do we get off thinking that we can really get our mind around who he is? Thankfully, in his word, he has declared certain things about who he is. For instance, one of the things that I find interesting is when people find out that he knew us from eternity past. In fact, the Bible says that he chose us from eternity past. And people get all bothered by that. I mean, is that fair? Look, the moment you try to decide whether God's fair, you've lost. You might as well hang it up at that point, because who are you to decide whether God's fair or not? In fact, Job had...
Well, that's one of the original satanic sins. I mean, Lucifer didn't believe that God was being fair, and that was what caused him to rebel.
Everybody who tries to figure out whether God's fair or not, that's not our prerogative. That's not what's in it for us. And
it makes us be his judge.
We do.
And that's definitely a bad place to be. Well, you know, I'm not going to believe in a God that da-da-da-da-da-da-da because, you know, that makes me superior to God in that I am judging him to be less than what I want him to be or whatever. But it makes me his judge, and that is pretty clearly a very poor place to be in as a believer or an unbeliever.
Yeah, or anything.
Yeah.
As a brown dog. I mean, it doesn't matter. We are not called to judge God. Now, there's a lot of people who get really uptight about the fact when I tell them, well, you either get one or two shots here. One, you can think it's unfair that you don't get to judge God, or two, you accept what he says is true about him. For instance, if we search all of Scripture, we'll only find one reason why Christ died for us, why he took upon himself the penalty for our sins. That one reason is because he loves us. Now, there's a lot of people go, well, and what else did he do? If that's not enough for you, then it's not enough for you. I mean, it's like, I know this is a really bad example, but there's some women who think that their husband should always be perfect in every way. And if they're not, they just can't stand them. Well, they don't spend much time in their marriage enjoying it, do they?
No.
Yes, they are. Right? And this is the same with God. If you have to know why he does certain things, or which is you coming, and you're correct, it is Satan's way of getting you to be separated from God. I mean, Satan doesn't have to tell you many awful things about God for you to contemplate. All he has to do is get you to ask the question why. And once he gets to you to ask the question why, you're stuck. You're not going to make it. And that's just the long and the short of it. So we can either take our place. So here's the thing about this, Jack. We can either accept our position before God, which is probably the brightest thing for us to do. Or we can think that we should have the right to judge him. I have never found anybody who has been all that happy judging God. I haven't found anybody. So...
Well, it, I think it goes beyond, you know, to make you happy. It puts you in a position where you are in conflict with God. To judge someone is to condemn them. And when you condemn them, then that makes you their moral superior. And so in our society, what we have is a enormous element of non-believers and a substantial in the body of Christ who finds themselves judging God. People don't like that he's this way or that way, and they want to be able to pick and choose.
Well, they would like to find fault with God because they think he's found fault with them, and that's sort of their quid pro quo. You know, you judge me, God, I'm going to judge you. Which is craziness. I think it's because we've talked about this a couple of shows, is that we have lost all concept of the magnificence of God. Are we really saying, I was looking at the garage door this morning and there were a bunch of little bitty ants that were crawling around, and I go, I think I'll let them live. But I have no,
that's our view of God a lot of times. I'll let Jack live today, or I'll let Robert live for a little while longer instead of squashing him. And I need to tell you, there are a lot of people that think that, and there are times that I have thought that, to be honest, in my earlier years.
Well, I didn't see any of them bowing down before me saying, thank you for letting us live another day. In fact, I don't think they ever knew I was there. You know what I mean? They just kept on crawling. So my point being is that God is so, we don't even, we barely know anything about God. We know that he was creator and maintainer God. We know that he loved us enough. We know he's eternal, but that is just beyond our understanding of what that word means. I mean, it's way out of bounds for us.
Robert, when Christ was here and he walked the earth for 3 years in ministry with his disciples, even when they were around him 24/7, they didn't understand him. They misconstrued everything he was doing, his purpose, the whole thing. And you wonder, I've wondered this so many times, of course, how could they be so obtuse? And yet at the same time, I find myself being equally obtuse, about almost everything. And, it's really, and it's easy to say, I trust the Lord and I put my faith in him. And yet, when our little worlds are rocked, so is the foundation of our faith in things, because we just are so frail in our knowledge, in our wisdom, in our faith, and everything else. And even strong Christians even the strongest of Christians are pretty frail.
Yeah.
I suppose it's why we have so many people that are, that have problems with alcohol and drugs and codependency and, family relationships that are just so dysfunctional. Some of those things are, in your family and mine too. I mean, there are hard things, and you think, well, somebody's a, somebody can write a good Christian book, they ought to have it all together. Well, I just want to tell you that I know for sure that isn't true.
Well, so the first point is that I would like our listeners to understand is that they will never understand God, but they have the opportunity to know Him. If that's not satisfactory enough, then they're out of luck. I mean, just putting it bluntly, right?
If you look at it and kind of admit that you're never going to be able to really understand God well, it can be freeing.
Yeah, it takes the burden off you. I mean, and also, and when you think about who you're trying to understand, it also becomes, you go, why did I spend so much time trying to do that? Huh?
You know, one other thing about that, Robert, is that it absolves you of the responsibility of answering for Him. I mean, people ask me every day. There's never a day that goes by that somebody doesn't, ask me something that's kind of well, what about this, and what would God, and I don't know why He does what He does.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no idea why He does what He does.
They can either get over it or they can just be miserable, one of the two. Because if he doesn't care to show you why he does certain things, then he's not going to show you. I mean, we do not get the opportunity to control him. I know that's going to come as a shock to a lot of people, but that's just the way it is. I know that we have at our website, McGeeandMe.net, a little animation that shows people the sort of the universe from you sort of take off at the Himalayas and then you go up past the moon and the star and pretty soon you're at the edge of the universe and you've gone this massive universe that we have. Now this is all an artist's rendition of this, so it may not be, it can't be very accurate. But what it will do, you look at this and go, wow, He made all of this. He didn't ask me for any help either. Did he ask you, Jack? I don't think so.
No.
He did this.
I was plenty willing to offer it, but he didn't ask.
Yeah. I know. It's sort of what God asked Job when he said, oh, and now were you there when I put the stars in place and I did all this stuff? And Job asked, I think I've overstepped my bounds here. And so that's the first thing I want people to understand. And I really would encourage people to look at this animation and in the beginning look at it almost every day because it will let you understand your place in this universe as compared to being equal to God. When you understand that God made all this, and He just spoke it into place. It wasn't a day's work for Him. Well, let's see. Well, maybe one of the days. But there's billions of billions and billions of stars and et cetera, et cetera. All right? So that's one thing. The second thing I'd like to make observation is that sometimes groups, and I can think of a number of them, seem to want God to be brought down so that everybody's comfortable. There was and I know it's still out there, and I know I'm going to hack some people off, but, just write Jack. There used to be the concept that all the churches need to be seeker-friendly churches. And what that translated into is that you should have holes in your jeans. Or, in other words, you should dumb everything down. I remember talking to a young pastor one time, and he told me, he said, you have to understand, I spend hours and hours going over my sermon so that anybody can understand it. And I go, I wonder if the Holy Spirit's taking a vacation at your church. I mean, why would we do that? Why would we do something that doesn't even take God to explain what you're saying? Now, I don't mean that we get all stilty in our conversation and our description of all this. But on the other hand, it doesn't mean that we get, you know, the seeker-friendly deal is, well, we see who is the dumbest one in the church, right? And we speak to that one. I don't think so, right?
Well, see, that's what we've done. That's what we've done in public education, and it's like, you know, I just saw this little little clip where Jimmy Kimmel sends somebody out in Los Angeles, it being President's Day, and just asking people what they thought about you know, the passing of FTR, who just died yesterday, according to, and oh, how sad they were to hear that FDR had died, and you know, they even asked people, said, well, did you see him in his cameo role in the movie Pearl Harbor? Oh, yes, I remember that. I mean, and just, you know, these people just, you know, they don't know anything. And in Christianity, you know, when that book came out, the Purpose-Driven Life, that sold mega millions, and it was kind of put out there like it was deeply theological, and it was like a quarter of an inch deep and, you know, just covered a bunch of stuff. But it's because we as a nation and believers in our nation have dumbed down dramatically, so we don't understand some of the things.
Well, one of the problems with first is that when we down to that level, then you have to ask yourself, when you're really going through a very difficult time, is this a God you want to cast your cares on? Right? I mean, if it's easy enough for you to understand, are you really all that comfortable with trusting him with your situation? I don't think so. All right? And yet, there are many teachers who think they're helping their people out by having everything just dumbed down to a certain place. And in fact, they're making it very difficult on them. Go ahead and tell the people what God told you to tell them. I'm not saying not do that. But don't try to make it so simple. Because when you do, you're robbing them of what God wants them to know about himself. And God really doesn't have a problem explaining himself. We have a problem sometimes looking at what he's doing and feeling comfortable with saying it. I mean, like, concept of the fact he chose us in eternity past. I don't even want to go there because I don't know how he did that, all right? But I do know he did it, and he told us that he did it in order for us to feel a level of comfort that no matter what we're going through, he has already planned how we're supposed to deal with it. I was dealing with some business things today, and the people who are sort of in charge of doing it are acting their normal dumb self, and it bothered me for a little while, all right? And to be honest with you, it bothered me up until we began talking. Not big time bothered, but just, you know, it's like, what do they think they're doing, you know? And so then God reminded me, he said, well, he knew this was going to happen and that he has a plan. And I go, okay, I got it. He has a plan. And just because I don't know what that plan is doesn't mean that plan is not a great plan. You know what I mean?
No, that's exactly right.
We wonder if God's plan is very good because we don't know what it is. Like, if we knew what it was, then we could say, okay, my God.
Well, you know, as we're talking about this stuff, I can't help but think of some of my friends, particularly those who are hyper-Calvinists. And, you know, that's for our listeners, people that are, you know, double predestinarian and, you know, just many things that they believe. But what they want to do is drill down into things to the extent to where they believe that they can kind of capture all of Almighty God. And that just, that, well, you can't do it. Those, on the other hand, is the great mystics that, you know, juxtaposed to the Calvinists, who, you know, that would be, you know, everything is mystery and there's nothing that's really real. But how do you strike a balance in that?
Yeah, my theory is give it a break. You're not going to figure it out. You're going to come to God, and you're going to cast yourself upon him. He says he placed in us the spirit that cries out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. That's what he says he's done. So maybe we ought to go tap into that spirit that's crying out, Abba, Father, and realize that Christ overpaid for our sins. There are a lot of people who are trying to add to what God has done, or help God out, or one of the above, right? And we just need to realize that the one thing that he warned us against was to miss his rest, right? And which means we're not going to work hard enough to figure any of this stuff out. There are a couple other things I want to point out is that Psalm says that the Lord is near to those who are brokenhearted. And when we see people who have gone through very difficult times, we should encourage them that God is near. I have been visiting with a woman who talks about a time, I know we're real close to the end of the show, where she could communicate and talk to Jesus and actually sort of see him there, she's talking to him. Now, that bothers some people. It doesn't bother me a bit, right? Because when I was talking to the Lord about this, he says, well, I've been here all along for you too. Where do you think I was, right? Just because we don't see him doesn't mean he's any less not here than that woman who had actually, that he, now, he was very gracious with her and allowed her to see him, physically see him, because she had gone through a very horrific time. And I don't have a problem with that, all right? Now,
well, we've got 1 minute left, so we got to wind this up. So, give us a little homily here for real quick, and we'll get back with this next week.
Okay, well, the point being is, whether you've seen him, you haven't seen him, he says he's there. So as you go to sleep tonight, realize in the room with you is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said he would never leave you. And talk to him, and let him know you appreciate him being there and protecting you.
That is a good word. And folks, we're out of time. And I hope that you're enjoying all of this as much as we are enjoying doing it. And so just let me say thank you, Robert. And
okay.
God bless you. And
see you next week.
God bless.
Okay.
The United States of America. Talk to you next week.
Bye.